So welcome to the Finance and Corporate Services Committee for Tuesday 29th of January. You're the pleasure of me in the chair tonight. Chairman's notices, the usual. Please note sound recording of the meeting. In the event of fire, a siren will sound. Please use the fire exits. Please be advised that the different levels of flooring in the chamber and this meeting is recorded using closed circuit TV. Apologies for absence.
Yes, Chairman, apologies been received from Councillor Sismi and Councillor Boyce is attending as a substitute for Councillor Sismi.
Thank you very much. Welcome, Councillor Boyce. So minutes of the previous meeting. Agreed. You can go through page by page if you want, but if everyone agrees. Okay. On to corporate health and health safety. Private to Ms. Foy.
Disclosures, sorry.
Disclosures of pecuniary interests. There are none. Okay. Over to Ms. Foy.
Thank you. So we are on page 35, members, agenda item 6, corporate health and safety. The purpose of this report is to provide an update on corporate health and safety activity for quarter three. The key issues documented in the report are that there have been 2 cuts and stings, 3 falls from steps, a member that fell from a faulty chair, and every chair in the organisation has since been checked. One person's back was damaged by a door lock, and there were 5 incidents of unacceptable behaviour, which is a reduction from 13 in the quarter before. The action plans provided on page 39, the key area for development for us over the next couple of weeks is the further identification of first aiders under the new structure as we move into phase one under full council transformation. Happy to take any questions.
Any questions, members?
Thank you, Chairman. 3.2, they're talking about the incidence of unacceptable behaviour. 2 in customers and community, that is reception area,
yes,
is that?
Yes, that's correct.
Is there any kind of alarm bell or something that, or something to alert somebody that, that there is, because sometimes there's a lone member of staff there, and if somebody does come in, how do they, I appreciate the police station is only a door away, but how do they attract attention that they need?
I'm just checking because there used to be a panic button, and I just need to.
Well, that's what I'm thinking of. Yes.
Historically, we've had one. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you,
Councillor Fluker.
I was just going to say, actually, there is a button there that you can press to attract the attention of the police. But when they turn up, I can't say. But there is a button there, Chairman. I do know that one night it was pressed inadvertently and there several members were stopped in the car.
Well, if I can just come out, perhaps we could just check that it's working and...
We'll test it.
Checked every 6 months,
really. OK, any other comments or can we note that report? Thank you. Supplementary estimates, environments and reserves. Ms. Foy.
Thank you. So that's agenda item 7 on page 41 of the pack, supplementary estimates, environments and use of reserves. We've had no supplementary estimates during the last quarter. We have had no environments. There is a procurement exemption here which has been previously signed off by Councillor Sismi. This relates to the banking contract. So Maldon District Council pay approximately £11,000 worth of fees annually, sorry, £13,000 worth of fees annually to NatWest Bank for administering the bank account. That's in terms of general charges, payments, etc. In previous years, we've re-tendered that, but we haven't actually had anybody tender for it other than NatWest. So we reviewed this, and in order to really save the costs and also the difficulties in changing provider, a procurement exemption has been signed off to remain with NatWest. In terms of 3.5, that's drawdowns reserves, there are 5 listed, and all of these relate to repairs and renewals reserve where we have fixed things, particularly in Promenade Park. And I think that's everything, and happy to take questions.
Case report is to note, Councillor Hurd.
Thank you, Chairman. I was just going to make that point that these things are all Promenade Park. So do we take them that these projects are broken down, or do we look at the overall picture? And if the overall picture exceeds whatever the total may be, 20 to 50, it should go to the Director and Director of Resources. If it's a collective amount, or can you break things down individually?
It's a drawdown of reserves, and drawdowns of reserves are reported to this committee, which is what we've done.
Councillor Fluker.
3.1.1. Bullet number 5. Where we've got reserved users, can we make sure that they're called to the attention of Mr. Jennings so that as he wades through Blackwood, he picks them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry to come back on that. I'll speak about the same point and go back to my previous statement, because when it's talking up to 20,000, if there are two projects on something which exceeds that amount, just for clarification, are they clumped together and therefore brought to that person, or are they kept as separate? For example, if there were two £15,000 estimates for something, that would exceed the 20,000.
Councillor Hurd, can I just check that we're all on the same page here? The guidance on page 42 at the top refers to supplementary estimates. We have just asked you to note drawdowns from reserves and not supplementary estimates. I will still answer your question about combining things. However, I would like to just draw that to your attention, and that's why they've been reported in the way that they have. So in terms of the procurement guidance is very, very clear, and it does not allow the segregation of things in order to bypass rules and regulations. However, the five things here are separate incidents which require repairs, and therefore they would not be combined together, that happened at different points in the year.
Any other questions, members? Can we note that report? Thank you very much. On to the capital investment report, agenda item 8, page 45 on the iPads.
Thank you. So page 45, I think myself and Ms. Cox will share, Mrs. Cox will share some of these reports, but I will start. So here we've got our capital strategy and our investment strategy. The capital strategy requirement is a new requirement which has come in this year as required by SIPFA and MHCLG. For us, however, there isn't a huge and significant amount to report in it at this point in time, because what the capital strategy really aims to deal with and put a control in place is over where you've got councils borrowing large amounts to invest out of borough or out of district. And that's what that's actually helping to put a control in place around, whereas we're not doing that at the moment. So we just report the standard information around prudential indicators that we would have reported in the previous year. So there's nothing particularly new other than complying with the new format. Again, on the investment strategy report, a similar situation, complying with the new guidance, but really reporting what we have reported in previous years. No changes in terms of treasury management practices or processes as were in place since this committee last updated them.
Any questions, members? Councillor Harker.
On page 49, where it says loans repaid, that doesn't include any repayment of a loan to Stonemaries.
These are loans that we're borrowing, not...
Yeah, I thought so.
Yep.
Okay. Any more questions? Can we note the report? Councillor Shrimpton.
Yes, on page 49, it's got a thing about there might be some money coming in on a right to buy. Have we still got some houses which could be?
We haven't got any houses anymore. We haven't got any council stock. But as part of the transfer, there is a small element that gets paid over for each house that the Housing Association then deals with through right to buy.
Well, can I ask... The owner of Sark's restaurant said to me the other night, why can one of the East End boroughs buy 30 houses on the suburb? Couldn't Horden do the same?
I think that's slightly off track to the Treasury report. If we had the budget...
Well, I was thinking about council houses.
If we had a strategy as a council to invest in housing stock, then yes, absolutely we could do that. But at the moment, I don't think that's part of this. Any other questions, or can we note the report?
On
51.
The council do not
Well done. We'll amend that. Does not make. We'll pick that up.
Thank you, Chairman. If it helps you, Chairman, I propose that we approve.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, agenda item 9, members' allowances, independent members' remuneration, page 55.
Okay, so let's just make sure I've got the right document up. So when council considered the future of the area planning committees, there was a recommendation that the independent remuneration panel be called to review the level of members' allowances and special allowances payable in respect of chairs of area planning committees. We called the panel. They've met 3 times. We also asked them to look at another area, which was whether there was a recommendation coming forward around mileage and expenses. And the reason that we did this is because there was no strict guidance around subsistence, and in particular, if members were away on conferences, what they were able to claim for meal expenses. So there were those 2 distinct things, chairs of area planning committees and the subsistence. So the panel have met 3 times. The notes of the meeting are there. Their recommendations are attached as well as an appendix. And there are 2 key points that they're putting forward to this committee to then recommend on. The first thing is the members' mileage and expenses policy to be introduced. And the second thing is that the allowance currently paid to area committee chairs is reduced by half. So that's is reduced by at its current level by half. So those are the 2 recommendations. We invite debate, and then we can take this forward.
So this is a recommending to council. I personally wholeheartedly agree with the recommendations, but I'll open it to the members for discussion. Councillor Boyce.
Thank you, Chairman. I was going to move the recommendations, but I have a question about the second recommendation, that it be reduced to 50% of the existing rate. What is the existing rate?
75%.
So it's coming down to 35%.
Or
37.5.
Yeah. Yes.
Councillor Fluker. There's a couple of questions around this.
The first one, with all seriousness, I think that maybe I should declare, in the interest of openness and transparency, that I was the subject or an unwitting party to a rather substantial claim under the members. Expenses. So for me, I'm very, very comfortable that we are going to now control what members can claim for when they're pursuing their duties. But the report actually says that they can't claim any more than officers. So do we know what the maximum is for officers? Because it would be nice to take this to council and deal with it. So I think we probably may need a third recommendation to just bolster that up, because it's in the body of the report. So we need to say that members cannot spend more than the allowance currently offered to officers as a form of subsistence. I think that's what we need to do, because we talk to it, but we don't actually have a recommendation to council to it.
Yeah, which is the HMRC level.
And it, you know, I think, if off the top of my head, I think it's sort of a maximum of £28 or something, £28 or something. It's not a huge amount, but it's enough to get you a meal if you're away from home. You know, anything else I'd consider to be excessive. So with that, Chairman, I'd like to propose that we add that recommendation.
Seconded. Okay, seconded. Councillor Head.
Thank you very much. Page 57 I'm on, Chairman. This talks about the members' mileage and expenses. Speaking as somebody who's never claimed any mileage ever since I've been a councillor, I'm absolutely astounded that this has come this long without any policy in place. What I cannot understand is, if somebody is going anywhere outside of the county, surely if you're talking about public money, then you should be looking at things like a hire car rather than claiming mileage. There should be some kind of travel tree so that you can find which is the most economical way. I know it's convenient to take your own car, But I'm just astounded that it has been as loose as this for as long as this.
I'll let Miss Foy respond to that, then I'll take Councillor Boyce's question.
I don't think it is actually quite as loose as you're describing. There is on the guidance that's given to members when they become members is around travel expenses. Also, on the form that is completed with every single travel expenses claim, the rules are very clear. The point of having this policy was not actually around the mileage. It was more to pick up the issues around the subsistence expenses. However, it would make sense to bring this all together in one policy.
Yeah. Is there a supplementary? Councillor Boyce was next.
Well, always
yeah. Councillor Boyce.
Chairman, if you go back far enough, there is a policy on approved list of duties. So there is a policy.
Okay, that's in the Constitution, I believe. Councillor Acevedo, I'll take Councillor Fluker.
Thank you, Chairman. Like Councillor Hurd, have never claimed expenses either. However, I do understand that some people should be and are, but it didn't include me. At this moment in time, could I please have an answer to, does anybody get expenses, or are they allowed to claim expenses for going to party conference?
No.
Good. Thank you.
Councillor Fluker.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman.
On Appendix A, page 59, paragraph 1, I'd hate this to move forward and someone had to suffer what I had to suffer over this issue. And I think that we actually agreed that we wouldn't revisit a single planning committee for... Well, I think I understand where they're coming from, but I think we actually agreed that we wouldn't revisit this for a number of years. So I think that's... And I think going back to the mileage forms, I mean, you should show on them. I mean, you know, I make no bones about it. It's a public record. You know, I claim for about 600 miles a month, and I don't have a problem with that because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm driving 7,200 miles a year on a local authority business, and when I take my car in after 2 years, it's got 14,000 miles on it, and that's roughly how much Mercedes-Benz knock off the value, by the way. But my other point is, and there's a point in here, and it does impact on health and safety, and this is to do with they have suggested, and it's a suggestion of the remuneration panel, that members should book in when they come to the council offices. It's very important. There was a fire alarm the other day, and when I took the register outside, I found out that Councillor Boyce hadn't signed the register, and if there had been a fire, God forbid, no one would have gone to look for him. And that would have been a great loss, Chairman. I think that would have been a great loss to this council, and I think it actually adds weight to the fact that members should sign in when they come.
Let me just respond to Councillor Fluker. So your first one was on the general observation of the committee around the single planning committees. I think it's clear in the report that's just an observation of that committee. You probably don't know the background of what we've been through as a council on those, and we can acknowledge that. Absolutely agree that I'm a fortunate member that lives in very close to this council and don't have to travel too far to do it, but I absolutely get that some members do have to do a significant amount of mileage on council business, so it's right that we have this policy. And finally, I absolutely agree, and myself and Councillor Harker was talking about this just outside the chamber. I think we need to make it easier, potentially, and maybe it's something Ms. Foy can take away, to actually check in and check out. It seems we've got our door passes. Can we not have a members area that we can just check in and check out rather than having to sign in to do that? So
we'll look into that.
I think that answers all of your questions. Well, Councillor Fluker and Councillor Harker, microphone.
Sorry. On the receipts, we're still in the dark ages. We've got Office 365. Why don't we use SharePoint to scan your receipts, send them all in, boom, boom. We're supposed to be going paperless, but we haven't quite made it.
We are testing.
You're lucky I've spoken, Councillor.
We are.
I know what's been going on here.
So we are testing a new app which sits on top of our Sage finance system, which enables mileage and expenses to be made from your phone, taking a picture and filling it in. So that is being tested. It's coming out of phase two. We're not using SharePoint. It's just something that sits on Sage. It's an app.
Oh, Sage.
Yeah. So it goes straight through.
Councillor Hess.
Thank you very much. Again, on page 59, please, Chairman, the point about the area committees, I would like appended to after the word resources that this was already discussed with the council and resoundingly rejected.
We can't. Yeah, I don't think we can amend another committee's minutes, which is what this is.
Well, perhaps if I can come back on that. I mean, this is a matter of a public document. The public will ask themselves, I wonder why they're not going on to that. And the reason we're not going on to it is because we don't want it.
So we'll put it in the minutes, that's fine, of this meeting, but we can't amend the independent remuneration panel's document because they are an independent remuneration panel.
So can we recommend to council Councillor Fluker's proposal that we have item 1, item 2 and then item 3 where it's not, the wording was not to be more than officers or the HMRC
limit? Chairman, what it is the members' policy has got to accord with the one that's... We need a new policy because there is no policy, so you can have lunch in the Ivy and sadly the Treasurer would have to pay for it the way that things are, but unfortunately officers would have to have theirs in the Wimpy Bar opposite because they're only allowed 30 quid.
Yeah.
So we want a new policy normalised in there to reflect the policy that's currently applicable to officers, and that makes it very simple because it has Chairman, been abused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so can we agree that, members?
Agreed.
Everyone? Thank you. Okay, 2018-29 Capital Programme Report, Agenda Item 10, page 63.
Thank you, Chairman. This report can be found on pages 63 to 68 of the pack. It's just to give an update of the quarter three position of the current year's capital programme and just to confirm that there haven't been any changes to the capital bid proposals for 19-20 that were previously reported and were agreed by Council on the 20th of December. So they'll now go forward to Council on the 14th of February for inclusion in the budget. The current year's programme is 48% complete and with the exception of two projects will be completed in this financial year. And the two exceptions are the new accessible play site, which is currently out to consultation with the public, and also the superfast broadband contribution, which members have agreed will be paid when the project is complete, subject to meeting certain targets. And that's basically the report, so if anyone's got any questions.
Okay, so I think it's a much better pitch than it has been the last few years of carry forward, so congratulations to officers on that. This is to note. Any questions, Councillor Hurd?
Thank you, Chairman. Page 67 on here, which is talking about the purchase of bins. Does that mean that there will be more bins? Are these for new bins or replacement bins? Because the reason I ask is that when you walk down at the promenade, On a summer evening, the bins are currently overflowing and far under capacity of what's expected there. And I wonder whether they were either any thoughts about having larger bins there to take up some of this rubbish which ends up blowing around all over the place.
Ms. Foy?
So this actually was 17-18 budget rather than 18-19, and it refers to the bins for new housing developments, which we now build into section 106, and large developers have to buy the bins for the housing developments themselves. So it's a change. That's the bins we're talking about. We're not talking about bins in Promenade Park. We're talking about the wheelie bins and the other bins, but we now recharge that for all significant developments.
Councillor Harker. I think my understanding was from being a wall our fellow ward member of Ewing Hope is that the scaffolding was left up just because there could be potential for more spending from Mr Hurd, but if the officers know.
The expenditure is also just to the end of December because this is quarter three, so I can check on if there's been anything since then.
You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
I have to say I'm chairman of the Friends of Hayden Cemetery.
I thought it was Councillor Lewis, but you've... So I was going to say, it's Councillor Lewis get upset with that. Okay, so any other... Councillor Beale.
Replacement of polling booths, considering that they're only used once every sort of 4 years, how do we have to keep on replacing them? They're quite satisfactory up to now.
From my brief spell as a district councillor, I remember they were very old, those polling booths we had that almost killed a couple of voters in my ward alone, so I think that was a long-term investment to replace those. It had been part of our capital expenditure for many years and we'd never spent it, but I'll defer to Miss Foy if she's got a different answer.
So they were 20 odd years old and the previous ones had been purchased when a grant was available to be able to purchase from the prison service to make them, and that's not been available for at least 15 years. We had a number of broken ones. The caretakers sorted through them all, those that were salvageable and those that weren't, and new ones were purchased this year. You are correct, they had been on that capital programme for some years and they weren't getting purchased, so we just did the work this year, looked at them all and we've purchased them.
Okay, any other questions or can we note this report?
Noted.
Thank you very much.
On
to discretionary fees and charges. I've been through this one line by line myself and couldn't see anything too controversial. But over to Ms. Foyle.
Thank you. So we are on page 69, discretionary fees and charges. So the policies have all been through the committee cycle. The next stage is for the actual levels to be agreed. And there are two matters to be brought to your attention, which are... which have changed in effect, well, not changed, but are slightly different to how we would normally do it. The first one is that we haven't reviewed and reset building control fees because that is subject to a separate review and that will come back to this committee. Initially, it was requested that delegated authority be given to building control and the planning manager to be able to set those fees, but actually it was decided it was more appropriate to come back to this committee, so following a review. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the issue of clinical waste. So historically, what has happened is that we have collected clinical waste at no charge from some of our residents, but equally our residents were able to drop their clinical waste, their sharps, etc., in at any chemist and doctor's surgery and they would be taken away. As of the 31st of January, the NHS has withdrawn that service completely, which leaves us, the district council, the only free collector of clinical waste across the whole district. Chemists, pharmacies and doctor's surgeries will no longer accept this waste. So this puts us in a difficult situation. And initially the plan was that we were going to try and signpost these people to places where they might collect it, but they would have to pay. We've been advised that we're not allowed to do that, that we would not be fulfilling our duties. So therefore we have had to... rebring in the policy of free collection, and we are currently looking, challenging. We will use the monitor officer to challenge case law, etc., to see how far we can take this. But at the moment, we've had to rebring in the policy of free collection. We are currently amending all of our forms to do with this to ensure that a general practitioner has signed off on the need for each individual's collection of clinical waste. And that's a new thing which we've had to bring in.
I'll start from left, Councillor Fluker, and Councillor Boyce and Acevedo.
I wonder if Ms. Foy could give me an example of what animal licensing applies to, why it's risen by 30%.
So we are now, for example, required to license, I want to use the phrase, dog sitters, if that's, or kennels. There's a new licensing requirement that wasn't in place before.
Ofsted.
So for for places where pets can go to while people go on holidays. There's new licensing requirements, and therefore we will charge for those licensing requirements.
Councillor Boyce.
Chairman, 342, have we any idea of what the additional cost for the collection of this clinical waste is?
Not at this stage. I had discussions with the rest of Essex finance officers, and they were of the same view, to try and get an indicative level. Over the next 2 months before we get into the new financial year, the NHS will have stopped funding, so we will have an idea of what that might be, and we will need to build potentially supplementary estimates in accordingly.
Councillor Acevedo.
Thank you, Chairman, but Councillor Boyce has just asked the same question.
Okay, any further questions, or can we note the report? Agreed. Okay. Revised 2008 estimates, budget estimates, and council tax, agenda item 12, page 93.
Okay, so page 93, this is the council tax proposal, if you like, alongside a summary of our funding from central government and a discussion around reserves policy. So those are the three key elements which are in there. There are four recommendations according to those, which will go to full council if they are agreed tonight, and will form part of the medium-term financial strategy and the budget for the 14th of February. So the first point to make is that today there was a written ministerial funding statement, and the information in 3.4 has now been finalised. So that is our settlement funding assessment is 1.174 million. That is rather taken from business rates that we collect that we don't pay over, rather than receiving a significant amount of revenue support grant, which has now disappeared. There is some elements of rural services delivery grant, but the majority of that comes from business rates. So central government funding is now limited to keeping some of our business rates, and this is the last year of the current spending review settlement. So 2020 will have a whole new way of funding. There are two consultations that are out, one around business rates, the reset and valuations, and one about fairer funding. I will be doing a briefing note for all members over the next couple of weeks, and will also be organising a workshop where I will be able to brief members on what those changes are being proposed, which will help shape our response to those two consultations, which need to be returned by the end of, one is the end of February, the other is mid-March. So there are significant changes coming, and we as a district are potentially more at risk because the overall pot of funding remains the same or will lessen according to the spending review, but the cost of adult and children's social care remains rising, which you know, to summarise, there's a smaller pie to divvy up for districts. So those are our risks around that. That ties in then to the policy on reserves. Overall, our expenditure is decreasing. We're implementing full council transformation, and to date we're keeping up with that. We've got lower numbers of staff and lower levels of expenditure. We're also looking at increasing income as well. However, I will not be recommending a reduction in our general fund balance, even though our overall expenditure is decreasing. Because at the moment, there are significant risks around what will come out of both business rates in the future and also fairer funding as well. So therefore, I am suggesting that we retain a minimum general fund balance of 2.6 million. Then, finally, we then go to the council tax. So our residents are facing significant increases in council tax. Our council tax bill makes up 11% of our total residents' council tax bill, and we know from consultations from both Essex County Council and from the police that there are significant rises to their council tax precepts. We are in a position where we also need to protect the base, the council tax base. So recommendation is to always try wherever possible to keep up with increasing levels of spending according to our contracts, for example. So what we have tried to do this time is when we've modelled the council tax at the request of members, we have looked to try and stay within the lines of CPI, which up to December was 2.4%. It's now fallen again, but 2.4%. And therefore, in the interests of being prudent and maintaining the base, but also in terms of you know, listening to our members and minimising council tax increases, we've put together something today with a rise of 2.3%, which is it's approximately 10 pence per week per bandy and £197 approximately for the bandy annual equivalent. So I'm happy to take any questions.
Councillor Fluker.
Thank you, Jim. Can I first of all thank the 151 officer and her team for the enormous amount of work that's gone into this. Can I also thank them for engaging with me with regards to the council tax? We could have increased the council tax by 3% this year, but the Conservative administration agreed that 2.3% was below the CPI inflation. We know that our residents are going to have some rather large increases this year from Essex County Council and the police. So we need to protect our tax base. We need to move forward. And my proposal, Chairman, is that we agree all of the recommendations to Council, and that this committee agrees to a 2.3% increase in the council tax, which is £4.43 per annum. Thank you.
Do you want to talk? Just everyone. Mrs. Thompson, do you want to talk?
Sorry, okay.
Councillor Hurd?
Only just a very minor point. On recommendation D, I'm sure that should read to retain, as opposed to A, retain.
Yep.
Councillor
Miss Sosa Fodo?
No, I was just going to second as well. Thank
okay,
you.
So, Councillor Shrimpton?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with the principles of everything that's been said, and I'm prepared to go along with it. I just wondered whether we were able to pay a little bit of the pension gap.
Miss Fodo?
Okay, so every 4 years we have a big bill to pay off the pension gap, usually about 1.8 million. And we are putting some money aside this year towards the pension gap, but the bill comes in next year.
Okay, well, I agree with the what the leader has said in that report. I think when you hear some of the horror stories of other local authorities, we are being very fiscally responsible and looking to the future, so I recommend these to full council. Is that approved? Thank you. Agenda item 13.
Okay.
Regulation of investigative powers, page 121.
Okay, so page 121. We are required to update our RIPA policy, and it was last approved in 2015. The monitoring officer has prepared this update. I do need to inform you, members, that there is one error in that it still refers to the Director of Planning and Regulatory Services as a nominated officer. That is not erroneous in that currently Mr. Dodson is responsible for that area, but that needs to be changed to just say the Director of Strategy, Performance and Governance until the area of planning has moved across to service delivery.
Okay, so there's a recommendation to Council. Councillor Hurd?
I just have one quick question. 3.1 on page 121, it says there may be occasions when the council decides it's necessary to undertake. Are we able to say whether we have or haven't taken this up since it started, or is that a green paper issue?
We have not. And this policy is there as a safeguard. RIPA made it very, very difficult, and rightly so. It stopped surveillance without people really considering what the right and proper reasons and assessing the risk for it was. But we've not used it to date. But we maintain training with our staff so that they are trained. And if it is the right thing to do, then we will consider it.
Okay, members, can we agree that to council?
Yeah, great.
Thank you. And on that note, at 2:10, I close the meeting.